Well, 3 weeks ago, we heard the glorious news that while Jesus Christ had been cruelly left on a cross to die, and had indeed died, 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, defeating death on Easter Sunday. And so we said and we say, he is risen indeed, alleluia. And 2 weeks ago, on the heels of this good news, we heard how the risen Jesus commanded the disciples to go out to all corners of the world to stop hiding and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And last week, we heard how Peter did exactly that and surprised many, perhaps even himself, by preaching to and baptizing a Gentile centurion, a Roman soldier, and his family and his friends. And now this week, we finish what is actually a very brief 2 week sampler of the book of Acts by hearing how Paul and Barnabas were sent out not just to preach to Gentiles, but to real heathens and idolaters. Could the precious gospel of Jesus Christ withstand such sinners? Well, you bet it could. For Christ came to take away the sins of the world, and that is exactly what he is doing at this very moment for you. The grace and peace of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven your idolatry as well. The old is behind you in Christ, and all you have in front of you now is new life. Amen. Now I know that many of you feel like you've been cooped up far too long, and as the weather makes April's snow showers seem like a distant memory, you're raring to get back out into the world, and so am I. I imagine that Paul and Barnabas perhaps felt the same way in Antioch, cooped up. They too, along with Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, were waiting for the all clear to get back out into the world. Only they were not waiting upon the governor. They were waiting upon the Holy Spirit, worshiping, fasting, and praying. Does it seem strange to you that these two, Paul and Barnabas, fully prepared to go out with a word on their lips and called, in fact, to do this in general, waited for the right time, waited for God's time? And that time did come for Barnabas and Paul. The Holy Spirit made clear in their worshiping that these two were to be set apart for the special assignment of preaching specifically to the Gentiles. And they were sent on their way with the laying on of hands, a tradition we continue in the church today. Now, in a more normal calendar, today would have been our high school senior recognition Sunday. Today, at the 10:30 service, had we all been together, we would have invited our high school seniors to come up, perhaps in their graduating gowns. We would recognize them and pray for them and their families. And then after that, we would have had a lunch and a program for seniors and their families. High school seniors know these days are not as they normally would be. They know this more than many. We are not gathering today, as you know. And graduations this year will look different than they have before. Now, rest assured, we have plans to celebrate our seniors in the coming weeks in new and exciting ways to lift up what God has done for them and through them. And we will do this differently, but in cool ways. Yet we have been forced to be flexible and to wait. And this has not been easy. And so, seniors and families of seniors, we keep you in our prayers and we lift you up this day among many days. Paul and Barnabas waited as well. And so in our story in Acts, we fast forward to chapter 14 and we find them on their way headed to Lystra. Paul walks by a man who had been crippled from birth, a man who had never been able to walk in his life. Can you imagine this? He was a man whose most identifiable trait, the thing that set him apart from others in his community, was something he could not do. Something many of us take for granted, walking. This was something he had never been able to do, yet Paul saw faith. It's funny how faith often seems to come more easily to those who have been forced to be dependent on others. In our culture of the self-made man or self-made woman, where what you do or how much you make defines who you are, or so we think, faith or trust in something outside of ourselves, something like God's word, can be a hard pill to swallow. It has been a tall task for us all to be forced to slow down in our lives in order to protect our community from the potential rapid spread of the coronavirus. For some, this has been impossible, whose calls have been to work that is essential for the care of others. For others, it has been difficult, seemingly impossible, hard to stay at home when there is work to be done, when there are places to be and people to see. It is hard for us to slow down when we rely on ourselves and our busyness to feel good. I suspect slowing down was not as much of a challenge for the man in Acts who could not walk, however. He likely had learned a life of dependence, at least some dependence, for those who were more mobile than he was. So when Paul looked upon that man who could not walk, he saw not disability, but faith. And God's word went out through Paul's mouth. Paul said, "Stand upright on your feet." And that word was trusted. That was it. There was no long incantation or dramatic show with smoke or lights or music. It was a simple word, but it was God's word. And Acts tells us that the man sprang up and began walking right away. Now that's the power of God's word going out. And the people of Lystra took notice. They were people who worshipped the traditional Greek pantheon, and so Zeus was thought to be the deity of the town, and Hermes was his spokesman. So when they saw this incredible healing, they thought Paul was certainly Zeus, and that Barnabas was Hermes. And not only that, but the priest of the temple to Zeus, which was right outside town, brought oxen and garlands ready to sacrifice them for these gods. Now, it is often a temptation in the church, as much as anywhere else, to look for evidence that what we are doing and what we are preaching is making some difference in the world, that people take notice, that lives are being changed, that people like what we do. It would have been tempting, I'm sure, for Paul and Barnabas to say to themselves, "Wow, this is really working. The people have noticed, and look at what they're doing for us. They're throwing a barbecue party, and I'm kind of hungry for some barbecued oxen." But they didn't. Paul and Barnabas could have said to themselves, "Well, maybe this is just their way of saying thanks. Or this is their way of worshiping, and we shouldn't bother them with our way of worshiping." But they didn't do this either. We see into their hearts in this story from Acts. We see on the one hand that they're not in this for the accolades, though they may have been tempted so. But they waited and were called to preach Christ and his forgiveness above all else. We see on the other hand that they also cared enough about these people not to let them continue in their false worship. And they preached Christ all the more strongly, not timidly, not, well, maybe this is right for you. They preached with a strong word that above all else, Christ's forgiveness was for them as well, and this meant something to them. And so they are horrified, we read in Acts, that they would be the objects of false worship, and they tear their garments, a sign of great sadness and surprise. And they preach more into this idolatry. Now it is true that we, in our sin, like the people of Lystra, are always looking to make the right sacrifice, the one that will please the gods of whatever it is we trust when we are not trusting Jesus. We have many of these in our lives too, small and large. Paul and Barnabas recognized this, and they tell the people, you should turn from these vain things to a living God. You see, in a world then and now where there are lots of small g gods or idols or false hopes for the thing that will save us, that is, whatever we go to when we're in trouble, there is only one living God, the Lord who cannot be bought by our sacrifice, but who has already made the final sacrifice for you. And this makes all the difference. This makes all the difference in the world. For those who do not yet know Jesus Christ in faith, and for all of us who are tempted to find our hope in other places, this final sacrifice is the difference between bondage and freedom, between accumulating stuff or power or results or reputation as if your life depended on it, and giving, sharing stuff, power, results, and reputation away because your life has already been secured in Jesus Christ. The unique saving sacrifice of Jesus is not only the difference between accusation and forgiveness in this life, but it is the difference between death and eternal life in God's mercy. My kids might ask again, is this a good idea, Papa? Paul and Barnabas' reply to this question is this: to have God give his very son for your sake, to forgive you, to defeat death itself, this is more than a good idea. It is salvation. It is the hope that we share with each other. It is the hope that we share with the world that needs it. This is our calling. Christ has come for you now to turn you from vain things to the living God. Christ is risen. We celebrate that this Easter season. He lives.